Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. God's complaint about Jerusalem's great violations of the Ten Commandments. The Mosaic law and practice by sinful man exposes man's sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the Apostle Paul stated, "Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." And the Ten Commandments present the key principles of God's righteousness in a society. In fact, you can argue that the entire law throughout the five books of Moses, whether you're talking about Deuteronomy or Leviticus and so forth, they all grow out of the Ten Commandments, the main key principles of God's righteousness in a society. Incidentally, the Ten Commandments have been the foundation for the morality of Western civilizations in Europe, here in the United States. Now that the world is getting away from that, there's becoming a fracture and a breakdown in that society. But these Ten Commandments have been a lifesaver for society for many generations. So just focusing on how well a people needs or heeds or fails to heed the Ten Commandments gives insight into the overall spiritual welfare of the people. Ezekiel chapter 22, 1 to 12, applies the Ten Commandments and other laws to the functions of the nation, revealing that the people of Israel were in ghastly violation of God's righteousness and deserved his severe discipline. So we view the passage for our insight and our edification. I want to read it first, and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 1 through 12. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, wilt thou judge? Wilt thou judge this city of bloodshed? Yes, thou shalt show all her abominations. Then say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, The city sheds blood in the midst of it, that her time may come, and maketh idols against herself to defile herself. Thou art become guilty in thy blood and thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made. And thou hast caused thy days to draw near, and are come even unto thy years. Therefore I have made thee a reproach unto the Gentiles, and a mocking to all the nations. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. Behold, the princes of Israel, everyone, were in thee to their power to shed blood. In thee they have set light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the foreigner. In thee have they vexed the fatherless and the widow. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. In thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and in thee are they that eat upon the mountains," that's idolatry. "In the midst of thee they commit lewdness. In thee they have discovered their father's nakedness. In thee they have humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And one that committeth abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in thee has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In thee they have taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God." Okay, a number of these phrases need to be reinterpreted so they can make sense to us. As in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 4, when God asked Ezekiel if he would judge Israel's elders, the Lord again asked Ezekiel if he would judge Jerusalem, the city that sheds blood. This question has the force of a command, namely, judge these people, and it's full of intense emotion. Sometimes when in Hebrew, if you ask a rhetorical question, you're expecting a certain answer, but you're asking it rhetorically because it's full of emotion. Like God saying, "Ezekiel, won't you judge these people? Won't you judge these people?" It's essentially, that's how God's saying it. Well, then God directed Ezekiel to confront the city of all her abominations, and in doing so, in Ezekiel 22, verses 3 through 12, we see a great array of wicked abominations of the law that was occurring in the city of Jerusalem. And it was actually, and we're going to find here, it's actually creating upheaval and turmoil in the society. There were so many wrongs, so many gross violations of marital life and family life and civil life, that the people were extremely restless. It was just full of turmoil, just heaving like this. First, God pointed to two major sins that summarized Israel's violation of the law in verses 2b to 5. Jerusalem was guilty of the shedding of blood and idolatry. And these two sins are repeated for emphasis with the conclusion that the appointed time of the city's judgment had arrived. Now, why did God pick on those two sins? Those two sins, incidentally, correspond to the two major requirements of the law: the love of God with one's entire being and love for one's neighbor as himself. Jesus brought this out in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 34 and following. Let me just read that. In Matthew 22, verse 34, when the Pharisees had heard that Jesus put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, and this would be a man who's an expert in the Jewish law, asked him a question, putting him to the test, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandments in the law?" Now, the Jews had an argument going as to which was the greatest commandment and which was the second greatest commandment. And so Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So not only the law, the five books of Moses, but all the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, were concerned about these two major areas. Well, these two sins that have been pointed out, the sins of idolatry and the shedding of blood, violate both of those commands. Idolatry violates the loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and shedding human blood is the ultimate form of hatred against one's neighbor. So in place of loving God, Jerusalem had turned to idols, and in place of loving one's neighbor, Jerusalem was full of murder. Now we have to be careful with murder. John writes in 1 John that if a person has an attitude of hatred towards his brother, he's already committed murder with him in his heart. So that's pretty heavy. Consequently, in judgment, God was about to make Jerusalem a reproach among the Gentile nations, a mockery to all the countries round about her, for she was a city full of tumult due to her sin. That's why in verse 5, "which are infamous and much vexed," in other words, it was a city that was full of tumult, upheaval, restlessness, because of all the wrongs that were being done. Then the Lord listed specific great violations of the Mosaic law in Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 6 through 12. First, the officials in the city, those responsible for keeping law and order in society, had themselves used their powers as government officials abusively to kill innocent people for personal gain. This is atrocious. You know, people are put in leadership to help. They're supposed to be helping, and people need to look to leaders as those who are providing protection. These men were using their leadership in order to twist the law so as to kill people so that they could seize their property. Terrible, terrible wickedness. Then fathers and mothers who were supposed to be honored according to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, that's one of the Ten Commandments, "thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother," they were being treated with contempt, in great violation not only of the law, but of Middle Eastern culture. Now, in our culture, it's obviously a bad thing to treat one's father and mother contemptuously, but in the Mideast, to do that today is like a death penalty. You just don't think of that. Even in Muslim countries, you always respect your father and always respect your mother. You never look down on it. It's very, very strong. But they were actually treating their mothers and fathers with contempt, which was a violation of their own cultural laws. Aliens, orphans, and widows, vulnerable people that God had charged Israel not to mistreat back in Exodus 21, verses 21 and 22. These people suffered extortion and wrongs in violation of the Exodus 20, verse 15 prohibition against theft. So not only were they stealing from one another, they were stealing from people who couldn't fight back legally, from widows and orphans and aliens. Then God charged Israel's people with despising his holy things and violating his Sabbaths in violation of the Exodus 29-11 command. Incidentally, violating the Sabbath law was a capital offense. It was supposed to bring the death penalty. Men in the city had slandered others in order to have them killed. Kind of like a member Jezebel, she had hired some men to slander Naboth so that he would be stoned to death and left, and then they could seize his property. And that's what was going on in Jerusalem, but all the time. So men in the city had slandered others to have them killed, a violation of the Exodus 20:16 that forbade bearing false witness against one's neighbor, and Exodus 20:13 that forbade murder. People in the city had eaten on the mountains. That's a reference to practicing idol worship that involved eating foods shared with false deities in pagan high places, all in violation of Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, that which said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What they do when they have the sacrifice with a pagan god, part of the food would be burned on the altar to the pagan god. The other part would be eaten by the person who's worshiping the god. And that would signify fellowship with that pagan god. So these people were eating on the mountains. The mountains were these high places where they had these pagan worship services. Then, men in the city had committed sexually lewd acts in the city of Jerusalem, an extensive violation of the Exodus 20:14 prohibition against adultery. And the vile forms of this sin are noted in verses 10 and 11. I debated as to whether I should name these, but I thought, no, this is the word of God. I'm going to, because it demonstrates what happens when people get away from God. Some men committed adultery with their father's wives. Now, I don't think this would have been their mothers, but their fathers often were married maybe to more than one woman, so they were committing this with their stepmothers, which was a horrendous, in that culture especially, was a horrendous abuse of the father. It was a demeaning of him in a terrible way. It's terrible anyway, you look at it. But anyway, some men violated women during their period in violation of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 19. That was strictly forbidden by the law. Some men committed adultery with their neighbor's wives. Then some committed incest with a daughter-in-law or a sister, versus Leviticus 18, 9 and 15. So you can see there was a breakdown of the family. This all came from idolatry, because in the pagan idolatry, they would practice immorality. They would have male prostitutes and female prostitutes at these shrines. And so they were practicing immorality with these prostitutes and so forth. And this immorality carried over into family life in the city. And there was a tremendous breakdown of the family. So men had sinned in complex ways. They were taking bribes to commit murder in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. They were taking unjust interest, Leviticus 18, 25, to steal by extortion in violation of Exodus 20, 15 from others. So you had sins that were piled upon. They were complex sins, wickedness upon wickedness. It was essentially they were acting like mafia figures, all right? That's what they were doing. But you'll notice the end of verse 12. In all these things they had forgotten the Lord, turning from him to great wickedness. The verse says, "And thou hast forgotten me." As though that's the capstone of the whole thing. But you know, that's the key. They forgot the Lord. And when a person forgets the Lord, he drifts. And when he drifts, because of the power of the sin nature in the world that's around in the self, he'll eventually go off into grotesque sin, given enough time. So the Lord revealed a list of great sins the people of Jerusalem had committed in abandoning him, which abandonment had eventually led to a totally corrupt society marked by tumult and ripe for the judgment of God. Since any departure from the Lord, due to the dangerous sin nature that dwells within us, is the first step towards eventual great catastrophic evil, may we cleave to God by faith for his righteousness and blessing. On Sunday, after our adult Sunday school class, one of the ladies in our church came forward to me and she said, "Pastor, does God even the score and judge all sin in this life?" And I said, "I'm afraid that may not always be the case. He does in a lot of cases, but I know this, in eternity, there's going to be left no stone unturned. God is going to deal with all of it." So you can be assured of that. And she relaxed at that point because, you know, she's been concerned, this lady was concerned about wrongs that she had seen in the lives of people around her, wrongs that have occurred in society. And it really bothered her. And but I said, rest assured, God will deal with it. If God is this clear in pointing out all the sins that were occurring within the city of Jerusalem, he doesn't skip a beat. So it's something that we can rest upon, and we can rest assured that God will deal. If we've been dealt wrongly, God will deal with that one way or another, either in this life or in the life that is to come for sure. But the big thing that we need to watch is that we don't depart from the Lord. If we forget the Lord, we go in a downward drift. And that downward drift has a tendency to accelerate like a toboggan. And before you know it, it ends in utter catastrophe, because the sin in us is great. The sin in the world is great as well. So may we cleave to God by faith and depend upon him for his righteousness and blessing.